So this morning, I want to commence by sharing with you a prayer that was written over 18 years ago, because right from the outset of my message, I want to reiterate and demonstrate that prayer works. But what we need to understand is that prayer is not instant. Neither can we manipulate or twist God's arm to have what we want, because it doesn't work like that. However, our lives are meaningful and significant because God is writing each of our stories purposefully. Our God is very purposeful. He's not random. And he is continually working through his plan, even though many times we don't even realize he's at work. And he's actively doing this for each one of us. So I read you this prayer this morning because this is part of my story that has affected my family in a profound way. Many of you know this story well because over the last few years I've mentioned it many, many times. But for those who are new today, I want to give you some background to just what I am about to read. So 18 years ago, my brother-in-law Tony was diagnosed with motor neuron disease and given a year to live. Anyone who's been connected with that condition knows it's very, very fatal. So here is the prayer 18 years ago that myself and two other magnificent, beautiful women, a very close friend of Nat's, Sandy Dusting, and Roz Cranswick, who is Kath Ward's daughter. We got together at Roz's home and we sat down and we wrote this prayer over Tony. And then each week we would meet and we would declare and pray this over his life as he carried that fatal diagnosis, until the diagnosis shifted and changed. So I'm going to read this to you for you to know, because there might be something in this that you can take, you can just glean from as I read this to you. Father, we pray for Tony in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. We believe that there is no other name higher than your name, and we choose to believe only your report over Tony's life above any other we may hear. We pray that you will accomplish all that you have for Tony's life through this difficult circumstance. Let him know and experience your amazing love, your immeasurable grace, your healing power, and your peace that passes all understanding right inside his innermost being every day. Touch him in a way that will change and grow the very person he is today, and make and mold him into the man you have designed him to be, that as he walks through this season, he would never be the same again. Let absolutely nothing stand in the way of you fulfilling all that you have planned for his life. We pray that despite the difficulty of his journey, Tony will find you to be his stronghold, his refuge, his fortress, his mighty warrior, his strong tower, and his deliverer. Let this be so real to him that no matter how he feels or what is happening in his body, he will believe and trust the truth of your word, and that this truth will sustain him. We pray that Tony will be given the overwhelming sense of God's love that will carry him through, and that the promises of your word will be inscribed on the pages of his heart. Let him walk in faith and not fear, and revel in the fact that you are crazy about him and that no weapon formed against him will prosper. We pray that he would experience a personal revelation that he belongs to your family and he has been bought with a great price. You alone paid for his life. Father, surround him with songs of deliverance that would change the atmosphere around him from fear and worry to faith, love, and an unwavering trust in your plan and purposes for his life. We command this infirmity to go in Jesus' name, and for Tony's body to come into alignment with the word of God that says he is healed by Jesus' stripes. We thank you that as we pray in faith, you will honor your word that declares in Luke 1:37, For nothing is impossible with God. We speak and declare Psalm 103 over Tony's life. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. As number 6, verses 24 to 26 have been Tony's lifelong signature, so we pray that same priestly blessing over him. The Lord bless you and keep you. Tony, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. 18 years ago, my brother-in-law Tony, 18 years later, is alive today and is serving Jesus in Athens in Greece alongside his wife, daughter and son-in-law, seeking to help the refugees in Greece who have no hope for their future. Their message is to restore hope through the message and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, amen. Thank you, Father. Wow. I'm still moved every time I think about that story in my own family. So what I want to do today is give you strategies to navigate our way forward. And what I believe is that as we look at the life and story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho, we can find, thank you, Karina, you're reading my mind, I need some water. Within their story, so much relevance for us in our faith journey. So come with me to the book of Joshua chapter 6 verses 1 to 21. It's a little bit lengthy, but it's worth reading. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." Thank you, darling. It's great. "March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of them." And he ordered the army advance. "March around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold, the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. When the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep and donkeys. So let me set some context around this account. Jericho is known as the oldest city in the world. And this particular city had two massive stone walls. The outer one was 6 feet thick and about 20 feet high. The inner wall was about 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. And between those walls was a guarded walkway about 15 feet wide. Suffice to say, these were extremely huge walls that the Israelites had to conquer. So Jericho was the gateway city to Canaan that the Israelites came to when they entered the promised land. And this moment in history is incredibly important because the Israelites have finally entered the promised land that was promised to them, and they go on to successfully conquer the very first city along their journey. This is a very incredible defining moment. The fallen walls of Jericho affirm that God was fulfilling his promise to them and that God would continue to be faithful to them in this new season as they took possession of the land. I know that right here in this room today, there are many of us that have enormous walls in our lives that need conquering. As we go through our life, there are times that we can have massive obstacles that we face. And these can come in so many forms, like in our finances, maybe a particular sin that we've always struggled with that we desperately need to conquer. A loved one who needs the Lord to touch and save them. Family troubles that absolutely tear at our hearts. And sometimes the list can seem endless. And these are the times where we need a godly perspective. Knowing the position and power of the Lord that we serve can give us great confidence and assurance when we're facing obstacles. And what I mean is this. If you would this morning consider the greatness of our God, who created the whole universe, every intricate tiny detail, the oceans, the animals. Think about what he did, the intricacy of us as humans, all of the different organs and the systems that we have been created with. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's the work of a designer, of a creator. But when we consider the greatness of our God who created that universe, and that he, our God, your God, my God, is so much bigger than the obstacle we are facing. What that then does is it allows us to focus more on the power of our God than the size of our wall. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to say it again because it's really important. It allows us to focus more on the power of our God, that's your God, that's my God, it's nobody else's God, it's ours. Think about that compared to the size of your wall. You see, Israel had finally crossed the Jordan and they're now ready to begin the conquest of the promised land. And for Israel, Jericho would be a benchmark of victory. So you can imagine the kind of vibe, the kind of conversations that are happening, They would have been no doubt strategizing how they could use all that they had, all that they'd gained, their own intelligence, to conquer the city of Jericho. Huh. But you see, rather than a military strategy, God had a completely supernatural strategy in mind for this specific situation. And what happens is that God is more clearly visible when we are completely out of the picture. And it is so evident that the victory is all about God and not to do with us. So this was the approach that God had in mind. But first and foremost, what the Lord did as Joshua and his men were looking at those walls was he gave them a massive word of encouragement, reassurance and comfort that not only would he deliver them, but it says he was with them every step of their battle and he promised them the victory before they even attacked Jericho. He gave them their conclusion before their beginning. And God has done exactly the same for us as we face the obstacles of our life. For he has promised that our weapons are powerful through God. 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We could substitute in there the pulling down of walls and obstacles. He has promised us that our ability is only limited by our faith. Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We've got it in us, folks. His mighty power, supernatural power inside of us. He has promised us that we have ongoing victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I really encourage each one of you this morning to continue to believe God's word and promises over your life? Romans 4:21 says this, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Because you see, what happens, Real Life Church, is when we combine our faith with his faithfulness, it brings down walls. God's methods for victory, they're always supernatural. So please don't waste your time reverting to fighting in your own strength. We so often do that. We come across an obstacle, a wall, a problem, and we think we've got to manage and figure it all out. And sometimes we're exhausted and then we think, oh, maybe I should pray about that. And lean into him to get a word and a promise from the heart of the Father for your battle. Be intentional in seeking the Lord, remembering that obedience will always result in blessing. But we need to be at peace with his timing and also with his outcomes. So maybe during the last couple of weeks, you've prayed and fasted and you've received a word or a scripture from the Lord about the walls that maybe are in your life or your family's life. But if you haven't, it's not too late to start. It's not too late to be purposeful, intentional. And can I encourage you to write down any words that you've been given in this period or may be given and read it every day or craft it into a daily prayer like the one I read about my brother-in-law, Tony. Be intentional. Be deliberate in order to keep yourself in a position and an attitude of faith. In particular, can I encourage you to write daily prayers for your children related to areas in their lives that concern you? Maybe they are walking far from God. Maybe they are struggling with anxiety. Whatever it is, seize the weapons God has given you and me and use them. Don't, whatever you do, don't let them lie dormant. They're there for us to use. They are crafted and intricately designed by God for you and I to use. Pick them up, use them, apply them. So here we go. You know the teacher inside of me is wanting to give you some practical help here. So if you're taking notes or you're on your phone, whatever method you use, I want to talk to you about the way forward, as I said in my introduction. And I want to create an atmosphere within our church community where we sustain our strength and that we walk strong. Yeah? So, here we go. Always keep at the forefront of your heart and mind that walls and obstacles are temporary, but God's word is eternal and powerful and will stand the test of time. Pastor David, you mentioned troubles come and go, but it's the word of the Lord, yeah, that is eternal and will stand the test of time. Do you know, the walls of Jericho were tall and they seemed impenetrable. Don't be intimidated and allow the thick walls of opposition to drive you out of the race to your destiny. Do you know, Satan wants to rip us off. He wants to destroy us. He wants to rob from us. He wants us to interrupt our race to our destiny. Yeah? Don't be intimidated. Think about the fort and it's completely safe and surrounded and there's the devil on the outside yelling, accusing. But he can't get to you. He only has the power that you allow him to have in your life. Number two, Joshua took the time to listen to God and seek his direction. And God spoke clearly to him. God can speak clearly to you. And there's a valuable lesson we can learn from Joshua, because the way forward for all of us after this season is to make space. You won't find it. You have to make it. Make space to hear from God through prayer, through worship, through journaling maybe. In this way, we can hear what God is saying and let his Holy Spirit guide our steps. Number three. All the worshippers out there are going to say amen, I know. Continue to release a sound of praise and victory on a daily basis, irrespective of what you see is happening with your wall or your obstacle. You see, the Israelite shout of praise came out of their obedience and faith. That the walls were still there. The wall was there when they shouted. Nothing had happened. And what they did in sheer obedience, they let out their shout of praise. Their faith came into agreement with the victory God had already promised them, and they saw with their own eyes thick, unmovable walls of Jericho coming tumbling down. Can you imagine the sheer volume of their shout of praise as the people brought their amen to God's promise? Oh, imagine being there for that. Wow. This was also a prophetic sound that was being released through the ram's horns, filling the airways, and the whole atmosphere was filled with great faith because there was unity. There was agreement. And it's very interesting to note that Joshua didn't want any human doubt and reasoning to erode the power of agreement in that moment. And so what he did was he commanded them not to speak at all as they marched around the wall seven times. Have you ever wondered about that? Why did he say don't speak? Because he guarded. He was guarding the atmosphere. Yeah? He was making sure that out of their mouths didn't come any attitudes of negativity or of criticism or of disunity. He was guarding the atmosphere of faith so that there was this incredible sense of togetherness as they were about to release that sound, that shout. Guard the atmosphere you surround yourself with. Can I encourage you to do that? Let your conversations with one another be full of faith. Let your conversations be full of encouragement. Hang out with people who are like-minded, who are heading in the same direction, who are unwavering and firmly planted, who choose to adopt a kingdom perspective when faced with life's challenges and obstacles. Doesn't mean that we can't be real with one another. When times are tough, we need people who'll just let us vent and get out how we're feeling. That's totally cool with God. He's okay with that. But what we also need is to hold up each other's arms. Yeah. At every stage in this story of Joshua, we can see God's fingerprints. Faithfully leading his children on their journey forward towards freedom and inheritance. Not once did he ever abandon them, even when they stuffed up and got it wrong. You might think today that you've been disqualified because you keep stuffing up. You might be experiencing intimidation from the enemy, and you might even have lingering feelings of failure from your past, and you think that's going to affect your destiny and your calling. But God wants to turn our messes into messages of hope, not just for us, but for others. I want to finish this morning by talking about the power of obedience. And I want to use a very current story of one of my very closest friends as a testimony. So on Friday, I was asked to officiate at the wedding of one of my closest friends from my previous church. It was her son had asked me if I would officiate. And I had the joy and privilege of conducting that wedding of this wonderful young couple. And the mother of the groom, who is my friend, is a beautiful, faithful Christian mother who had, over the last 10 years, been through the most incredibly painful and heartbreaking divorce, which left her and her children completely devastated and broken. And I used to meet her at the coffee club at Livingston Marketplace after she had dropped one of her children at school and he was just a mess and she could hardly get him to school. He was so brokenhearted about what had happened to our family, to his family. Her husband had left her and he'd married another woman, and her story was full of betrayal, disloyalty, and very deep wounds. And 4 years ago, she was praying and listening to some teaching on relationships, and a group of friends every Tuesday for the last probably 6 or 7 years have all got together, about five of them, and they've prayed for their obstacles, for their walls. And so her life has been this sustaining, continual prayer for what had happened in her family. And this particular teaching that she was listening to was on forgiveness. And much to her amazement, she felt the Lord ask her to apologize to her ex-husband. Whew, he's right. She was completely flummoxed, flabbergasted at this request, and she struggled with it for a long time. When I told her I was sharing this on Friday at her son's wedding, she said, "Let them know how much I struggled with doing that." Very hard. It's very hard. But in sheer obedience to the Lord, she texted him and she apologized for any wrong that she may have committed in their marriage and asked for his forgiveness. Poof. Whoa, what a hard pill to swallow. This was an absolutely massive act of submission to him that, in all honesty, he really didn't deserve. But what has transpired since she did this has been a series of supernatural breakthroughs in her family. A few months later, her husband responded to her text with a lengthy email to her of apology that included taking full responsibility for what he had done and for the breakdown of their marriage. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I can remember when she told me she was going to do it, I thought, man, that's just a massive ask, you know? And I said, well, if that's what the Lord's saying to you, you know, I encourage you to, you know, how easy it is to run somebody else's life than your own. And in addition, in the last few months, each of her three children who were estranged from their father have individually initiated a meeting with him to forgive and to reconcile with him. This last Friday, I witnessed with my very own eyes at this family wedding what happens when, in complete abandonment and obedience, you choose to obey God. Because her son, who was getting married, asked his mum if it was okay with her, and he invited his dad to his wedding. And I know this man very, very well. Hadn't seen him for 10 years. His wife, ex-wife, hadn't seen him for 10 years. It was massive. And there is this man standing by himself over there. And it was just such an emotional experience. And what that did was it released a gateway of supernatural blessing. And it opened up a way where there seemed to be no way. And as I went over to him and greeted him and embraced him, he said to me, "Bethwyn, thank you so much for coming over. It's what forgiveness looks like." And it just is just, it was just such a privilege to be a witness to what God can do when we say yes. Yeah. So Joshua had a word from God. He was obedient and he acted in faith and he did it God's way. And God gave them the victory. But you know, in truth, sometimes we can feel like God's way is too slow, it's too hard, and at times it seems foolish. You know, I'm quite sure that the guys standing around the walls of Jericho were mocking the Israelites and thinking that they were pretty ridiculous doing what they were doing. You think a shout is going to make a difference to our impenetrable walls? But his ways, Real Life Church, are reliable and trustworthy. He is a God of faithfulness. He is without injustice. He is good and he is upright. So what I want us to do moving forward, Real Life Church, is I want to bring my amen to God's yes. I'd love you to bring your amen to God's yes. Our faith combined with his faithfulness brings down walls. Amen? Can we stand together in a spirit of unity? If you have a wall, an obstacle in your life right now, I'm not going to make any of this lingering. I'm just going to invite you to come to the front. Don't hesitate, because you're going to need a whole lot of help. You're going to need a whole lot of love and support to get through this, because we can't do it alone. We need each other. Then I want to ask those who come, if you'll come now, and I want others to come and stand with them. Not literally hold up their arms, but stand with them. Don't pray with them, just stand with them. And after we have prayed, I know there's so many more of you that have got walls and obstacles. Come on out. Let's be family. Let's do this together. Amen. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that we would pray this prayer together. So I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to invite you to say it after me. Yeah. I'm going to allow a little bit more time because there's still people coming. Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Please pray after me. Father, I have a wall in my life that I can't move in my own strength. I ask for your supernatural power to come into my obstacle and remove it in Jesus' name. I praise you because I believe right now you are actively working to help me. And I ask for your peace to rule in my heart and my mind as I patiently wait for the outworking of your miracle working, mountain moving power and provision. Amen. Amen.